Glory to God forever and ever. Jesus Christ is alive. His glory is available to every person on the earth. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we give you this time. We're really speechless and eternally grateful that we can be yours. Jesus, thank you for everything that you've done and are doing today. Thank you for dying for us, for coming to the earth as a man, for praying for us, for interceding for us, and infinitely more. Holy Spirit, we welcome you and acknowledge that you are God. Amen. Amen. Man was born to fellowship with God. His presence and glory is beyond words, beyond description. When someone meets him in that personal face-to-face encounter with him, and technically it's being born of the Holy Spirit, they will realize, wow, this is the whole reason and that I'm on the earth, and this is how I know God and walk with him. Amen. And his glory and majesty is, on the 1 to 10 scale, is infinity. How do we meet him in this way? As I mentioned in a previous message, it's one of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, that it is up to a person what they do with that. And I say that as a part of the celebration, not to say it harshly, that's this celebration of our most holy faith, that God Almighty has made man in his image and has basically let man, I mean, and again, I say this also reverently, let man choose what he or she will do with their entire life and also every day. It's an amazing, it's one of the mysteries that, and that the central truth is man is the image of God. And that's our spirit person. This is such a key. I want to just try to explain something that's another mystery, but at the same time, it is simple. Every person has a spirit man, like every, before they're born again. And when someone's born again, their spirit man is regenerated, or is instantly becomes alive, and the God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through their power, bring their spirit person to life, and they now, that person has the anointing, the glory of God in their spirit person. Now, and again, it's up to them if they go into the second phase and get born of the Holy Spirit, born of water and the Spirit. And then also the third phase is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. That's when, and Jesus used these, really it's like a metaphor, an allegory to, in the Gospel of John, to reveal these phases of knowing God. Amen. So, sadly, even believers, we try to walk with him and serve him and so forth on our own. And at least they're trying. At least we are trying. But the key is knowing the Lord Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's glorious, so wonderful. It's the, again, an eternal celebration beyond, exceedingly abundantly above, beyond anything we can ask or imagine or think. That's his glory. So, again, someone may say, well, wait, how do I do this? Just go directly to him. Seek him. When we seek him with our whole heart, we'll find him. And we'll find the priceless treasure. That's even an understatement. The priceless treasure. And let's throw off all distractions and things. Someone said to me just the other day, I pointed out that I know some people who are not Christians because of certain things. You know, other Christians have taken advantage of them. Maybe they see things that they don't like in Christians and Catholics and in Christianity. This is a big problem. This is one of the big objections people have. And this person who's a believer said, I'm not a Christian because of all these people. I'm a Christian because of Jesus Christ. The glory to God. You know, we can always come up with objections and reasons not to walk with God Almighty and to serve Him. We can come up with, there's so many objections. I don't want to deal with those. Let's just go straight to Jesus, and when we meet Him in His glory, amen. Amen. A practical teaching, I want to just present something related somewhat to yesterday's message. In the first book of the New Testament, the first teaching that we have recorded in Matthew 5, 3 through 12, it's the Beatitudes. In the first sentence, the first truth that Jesus reveals is everything a person needs to know to know God, to live victoriously, to know Him their entire life, and make it to heaven. Amen. And He said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed means happy, favored, fortunate, rich, blessed. They could have just as easily put happy there. That literally the Greek word means happy. Now they chose blessed, which is fine. It's a great, okay. The poor in spirit. Okay, I've spoken about that, but going just to the, let's see, verse 6, it's one of the Beatitudes. I just want to give an overall summary of yesterday's message, basically. Jesus said, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Sometimes that word righteousness, we don't really, know what that means. We think, in the natural, well, I have to just do everything right and not sin. And that is part of it, I would say. But really, this, I think, is blessed are those, happy are those who hunger and thirst. Another translation says, for righteousness, says justice. But for they shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus Christ. And Jesus spoke very specifically about hunger and thirst, food and drink. And it's mainly in the book of John. He's the bread of life. He said, my flesh is food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He spoke specifically about how the water that He gives, if someone drinks it, they will never thirst. And then, famous verse, Revelation 3:20. He literally talks about dining with Him. And some translations even say eating a meal, sharing a meal together with Jesus. Okay? And that, the famous verse, Jesus says today to every person in the world, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, share a meal with him, and he with me. So simple, Jesus is, as he did in all of his teachings, basically, he taught in parables, metaphors, allegories. Allegory is just like a metaphor. It's a story with a hidden meaning. That's the definition of allegory. Allegory is a fancy word. What's an allegory? It's something with a hidden meaning. That's how Jesus taught. It's fascinating. In this Revelation 3:20, there's actually two allegories. that he uses. The main one I want to focus on is he talks about sharing a meal, okay? Eating, dining. What does that mean? Well, it's very simple. We all know that to live on the earth and survive, we need food and drink. We need food. We all as humans like food. We know we enjoy it. We know we have to have it. It keeps us alive. But that's in the natural. In the spiritual, Jesus Christ is the bread of life, okay? His flesh, his blood, the water, keeps us alive spiritually. But more than that, he's even talking about sharing a meal. Let's look at that verse again. I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So he doesn't just say, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and he who opens the door will get some food and eat a meal. He says, we'll eat a meal, we'll dine with me, and you know, again, let me repeat it. So the door is, as he did previously in another teaching, is referring to a human being as a house with a door. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, we know, when we're a believer. So it's even more than a house. Also, in addition to a house, we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But so we opened that door, and Jesus said, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me, share a meal together. And so Jesus, again, hidden meaning. Someone could just look at this and just say, oh, okay. But I believe he's referring to fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's that's the deepest reality. Someone, for example, in the born-again phase, they can just partake of Jesus. If they do partake of Jesus, glory to God, they're saved, they're born again. But they can stop there. Jesus will not make them go deeper, further, you know. But it's great that they got to that first phase. There's four phases of knowing God. And so the fourth phase is the anointing. That's sharing a meal with Jesus. And that's fellowship with him. Amen, amen. And that's what I want to just keep focusing on this, talking about it, proclaiming it. We need to hear this. And it's so glorious, so wonderful. I believe, I at least want to say, you know, I believe teachings that are anointed teachings will be encouraging, will lift us up higher, can be wonderful, and also simple, easy, you know, they will reveal to us, potentially reveal to us mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and these, and again, just wonderful. Why do I say that? Well, in this series, The Glory of the Lord, I'm also wanting to focus on this general truth that man was born to fellowship with God. And this is just so wonderful. It's an unspeakable mystery. And we don't hear this taught a lot. We don't hear this talked about. This is not... And someone might even... kind of question this, and let me say this. Many believers, and definitely unbelievers, do not even realize this truth, that God wants to actually fellowship with them. Jesus wants to fellowship with them. Unbelievers probably, for the most part, have no concept of that. Many believers, and let's remember, most believers are in the born-again phase, they also do not realize this. I myself, for a long time, didn't even know that this was an option. Did not know. I was in the born-again phase of the first of the four phases. I was trying on my own, in my old nature, to walk with God and know Him, and nothing ever worked. Okay. And then someone also could look at these teachings and even look at Revelation 3:20 and say, well, how do you know that that means fellowship? I mean, he's talking about having a meal. They could question it. They could look at the New Testament, at Jesus' teachings. You know, Jesus never came out and actually said man was born to fellowship with God. But remember, Jesus taught in parables, metaphors, allegories with hidden meanings. That's quite fascinating. That's a truth from the Bible, and even from, we will know from our experience, that God hides. Jesus hides. He reveals himself fully too. Amen. God has made himself fully. He's revealed himself fully to everyone, even those who never hear the gospel or have a Bible. That's in Romans 1:20. But he also hides. He himself hides. He hides his teachings. You know, I've given messages about that, but that's fascinating. How can it be both? Because he's our everything. Amen. Here's another example of how he hides. Teaching in this way, with these literary devices, you might call them, they have hidden meanings. He specifically spoke about, when he talked about the treasure buried, hidden in a field, and the pearl of great price, he's speaking there about the glory of God, the presence of God. And the fascinating thing is, Jesus Christ, at that time, was a man speaking about his presence. After he died and rose again and ascended to heaven, now it's the presence of God, the presence of Jesus Christ. So, I just wanted to present, you know, some people may not even realize that's what man was born to do, is to fellowship with him. And if someone is just in the first phase, they've at least done that. They have the glory of God in their spirit person. They may not even realize it. You know, how sad it is, unbelievers have no concept of this whatsoever. And Paul writes about that in famous teaching about how, you know, I think he calls it the carnal man, that's the natural man, cannot understand the things of God at all. Just not, you can tell them this, they'll just go right over their head. They have nothing. How do they get saved? It's only through the anointing and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And same thing with us. How can we do this and go deeper? It's all, we realize as we go deeper, he's the one who's actually doing it. He's bringing us into the phases. You know, amen, amen. And you know, it's taken me quite a while to kind of get a grasp of Revelation 3:20. And I just want to touch on, you know, the sharing a meal. What does a meal do in the natural? If we have a really good meal and it's the right meal, we're satisfied, right? That satisfies us until our next meal. But Jesus Christ satisfies fully. Amen. He said, this is in John chapter 6, 35, I believe it is. He said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Glory to God. So this, in the spiritual, he truly satisfies us spiritually. He's using the natural, just like he did in all these teachings. He's using something in the natural to reveal spiritual truth, eternal mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, in ways that we can understand. Glory to God. Glory to God forever.